If you've ever had a busy season for work or like end of fiscal year, end of quarter type deal, this episode is for you. Life has been life in the past few weeks, and I want to give you a few tips to help alleviate that during your busy season and also give you an update on the pleasure reading challenge. So let's go. Hey guys, my name is Kim Sanders, and welcome to You Are Worth the Work, a podcast that reminds busy moms that following your dreams ain't all rainbows and roses, but you are worth the work that it takes to thrive in this life. After you listen, please rate and review the episode. Also, if you want to connect with me, I'll have that info for you in the show notes. Let's get started. Hey, you guys. So I am recording this a little later than I should be, right? I have a deadline that my episodes are supposed to go to my editor. I missed the deadline, but I let her know, so it's all good. But here's the reason. It was end of fiscal year at my job. On top of all of that, the government might shut down tomorrow. So that's a whole other issue. But end of fiscal year is very interesting because it feels like it's an emergency every year, which tells me it's not an emergency. Because if this happens every single year, then that feels like poor planning on someone's part, but I'm not sure who. So it was the past maybe 6 weeks or so have been incredibly, I won't say stressful, but they've been incredibly hectic and incredibly chaotic because this project landed on my virtual desk and it was kind of like a challenge to get it done. It was a bigger project than should have been done in 6 weeks. And I even asked, I said, normally, how long does this actually take? And someone told me like 4 months. So the compression of it made it incredibly chaotic, right? Because the same approvals, the same process had to get done in a very, very compressed time. So I want to really applaud the whole team because everybody kind of understood. And I know this is old, like, everybody understood the assignment, right? Like we all understood that this had to get done before the end of the fiscal year because, or else somebody was going to have to, you know, somebody's going to get called to the carpet, right? And this was the largest project I've done in this job. And so once it was done, it was incredibly alleviating, right? And it felt good to get it done with the immense help of the team that came together. So now that that's done, I can breathe a little bit, but now the government's going to shut down. So there's that not working, but not getting paid thing kind of sucks. But that's okay. This will probably be my third or fourth government shutdown in my government career. I feel for the people who live paycheck to paycheck, right? That cannot necessarily afford to miss a paycheck, right? Missing a paycheck sucks, but everybody ain't able. You know what I'm saying? So I feel really bad for those who are going to endure hardship if and when the government shuts down. But, you know, that's not something that right now I can control, right? That's in the hands of other people who are somewhere else who need to do their job. And that's the thing that really, really sucks is like, all you gotta do is do your job. That's the worst part about it, right? When you see somebody just like openly not doing their job. And yeah, anyway, on to the topic. Today, I want to talk a little bit about ways to kind of alleviate that feeling of overwhelm when you are in that busy season of work, because sometimes it's not like end of fiscal year or end of quarter type deals. Maybe it's just a big project, right? If this was not happening during the end of fiscal year, but the timeline is still compressed for whatever reason, you still have to do the things. And as much as you want to say, well, you know, your emergency on your part is not an emergency on mine. As true as that might be, sometimes you still have to do the things. Sometimes you still have to kind of step up, put your big girl pants on and get it done. But that does not mean you burn out. And I thought about it, right, as I was going through these, you know, 5 or 6 weeks and we're getting closer and closer and we were enduring hiccup after hiccup. I was worried a little that the stress of it all, just the hectic of it on top of everything else that goes on in my life would make me sick, like physically sick. And I thought about that and I was like, well, if I'm sick, right, if I am sick and can't and laid up somewhere, they will, as much as it, I hate to say that, they'll find somebody else to pull the slack, right? They'll find somebody else to do my part there because I am simply a cog in the machine. But here at home, I am a little more important than a cog in the machine around here. Like there's only one of me. And it was actually a time, this week was a time when my husband was out of town. And so while I do have help and thank God for grandparents, for the most part, you know, day to day is, you know what I mean? Like it's a little extra, right? It's a little extra weight. And right, this was a perfect time for him to go out of town at the end of the fiscal year, right? But that is not how that works. So if I'm laid up sick, I can't be the best for my children. And so I want to give you 3 ways to help alleviate the overwhelm. And not you being overwhelmed as a person, but just the season that you're in is just one of a lot of chaos and just a lot of things on your plate and you're juggling them. And so until we can, you know, we're still on this journey of being unbusy, but there's some things you just can't control. So I want to give you 3 quick ways to, in your day-to-day, alleviate your overwhelm. And if you are part of my newsletter community, you may already have these 3 tips in your inbox because I sent them out the other day. I sent them out the other day. So if you are not in my newsletter community, listen up. But if you want to be a part of it, I will drop the link to that in the show notes so you can join me. It is a quick read. Usually it is either a time management or productivity or some sort of inspirational message from me to help you, busy mom, try to be unbusy. But also there may be like a quick recipe in there or a quick tip about healthier eating or healthier living or really a tangible way to put yourself first out here in these streets so that when busy season comes, you are equipped with the tools and resources. So I want to drop these on you. The very first thing is stick to the script. Stick to the script as much as you can, right? Now, busy season for me means that I still get up at 4 and work out. That may not be your reality. You may have a job where you work really early and you may have to stay later. If you can, do your best to stick to the script on your non-negotiables, which should always be some sort of movement, right? Your workouts are non-negotiable, even if it's a walk around the block. Even if instead of your 30-minute workout in the morning, let's just say you only have 15, make those the best 15 minutes of your day. Because if you continue to stick to your routine in some semblance, your body and your brain are like, okay, we're all good because we did the thing. We filled our cup. If your routine includes your Bible devotional, if it includes a yoga session, meditation, stick to the script as much as you can, because that will help in the busy season. When you get thrown off routine, it tells your brain that something's up and I kind of need to go into fight or flight. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a medical doctor. So I don't have any studies and facts on this. I can only tell you from my own experience what happens when I am thrown off my schedule for whatever reason. You know, my brain's like, something's up. How come we didn't work out today? And it goes into, uh-oh, something's wrong. Let me kind of kick in. And so I feel a little more stressed. I feel a little more rushed if that happens. And so I want to encourage you to do your best to stick to the script. That is what helped me during this time. And I truly believe that it will help you. In the evening, I also made sure that even if I needed to get more work done in the evening, I still made sure to step away and help with homework. You know, I'm still their mom, whether the job likes it or knows it or not. And luckily, I have supervisors and bosses that are very understanding of that. And so there were some days where I stepped away for a couple hours to mom so hard, but I made sure to come back and finish what I needed to finish. Because listen, whether you like it or not, you can be replaced by that job, right? And so your priorities still have to be on the things that are most important. Helping my sons with their homework is important to me because I need them to understand that that's what comes first. Their education comes first. Even though they're, you know, they play multiple sports, they go to their practices, and yeah, your homework comes first. So as long as I'm making it a priority, I'm showing them that it is important to this family, making sure that they have dinner, making sure they're squared away for whatever practice or training they have coming up. I do that because that is what's most important, is being present for them. And then you come back and you do your work, right? I mean, that's what nighttime is for. So that's number one. Stick to the script as much as possible. Understanding what is most important in your life is your wellness and making sure your cup is full, but also making sure your family's straight. And that may also include asking for help, right? So that's number one. Number two, take a 10. Take a 10. I know that when work is busy, you want to stay in it and go and go and go and go. And there is something to be said about getting into your flow, right? And really working and really grinding and kind of getting into this really good flow where you're working and you're super productive and you're in it. At some point, you have to get up and walk away, physically and mentally, right? The getting up and walking away is super important physically, because sitting, they say sitting is the new smoking, but I don't know that I'm that morbid about it. It just makes for tight hips and hamstrings and back and neck and arms and shoulders. If you're in front of your computer, even if you're standing, which is great, you should still get some movement in. If you work from home like I do, that is something that is just as simple as walking away so that you can move the clothes from the washer to the dryer. It takes less than 5 minutes, right? But the act of walking there and bending over and doing the things and moving your body in a different way that's not typing on a computer or moving your mouse is so important. Super important. Or if you just need to get out and get some air, right? If you just got out of a meeting and you're super stressed about it, get up, or you're working through a complex issue, get up, go outside, go for a walk, weather permitting, right? You don't want to be caught in a monsoon. But getting up and walking to the mailbox, like our mailboxes are not right outside our door. Well, mine is on the side of my house, but it's a communal mailbox. And so the act of walking to the mailbox, maybe you walk around the block. Maybe you walk down the block and come back. The fresh air, the sun shining, the wind blowing, the birds chirping, all of that kind of resets your nervous system and gets you back in a good space. Meditation also will help. Laying on the floor and closing your eyes and really just kind of clearing your mind. It's like control alt delete, right? It's a nice little reset for your brain so that you can get up and be more productive. So that's number two. Number three, shut it down. Number three, shut it down. And this is for my work from home people, but it could also be for people who bring work home. Shut it down. When you are done, close the laptop. Put it away. I mean, every day, that is what I do. And I work from home. Every day, that is what I do. My ice maker is loud right now. Every single day when I log off of work, shut it down, pull my ID out, put it away, put the laptop away, put my notebook away, clear off my space for two reasons. One, my husband also uses it sometimes when he comes home and has to work. And so I try to be, you know, kind of like a good office mate. But two, it again signals to your brain and your body, right? It signals to your brain, we are off work, and be off work. Like, making that switch, and especially for people who work from home, is so difficult, but we have to do it. You have to be able to flip the switch, especially, and that is one of the people who go into the office. One of the benefits they say of their commute is that they are off, they are done, their computer is at work, right? Even if they're bringing work home, they are still, their commute is their decompression time. When you work from home, you lose that a little bit, but I do not regret 1 minute working from home. So let me be very clear. I'm team work from home, but I understand the decompression part because I used to go into the office 5 days a week. But that just means if you're working from home, you have to be way more intentional about decompression. So when you put your stuff away and you are done because you've worked late, even though so this past week, I stopped working, I think one night at like 9. I logged back on at like 7. So would it have been easier for me to just leave my laptop up and running and plugged in and ready to go for the next morning? Absolutely. But I needed to tell my brain that we are done. And so I put it all away and I spent 10 minutes reading my pleasure book. Ha, pleasure reading challenge. And that was important to me. So when you shut everything down, it's not just your laptop that I'm talking about. I'm talking about shutting your brain down. Go do something, whether that's meditating again for the night, some yoga for the night, playing with your kids. If your kids have gone to bed, maybe that is reading a book or watching a show that makes you laugh or that doesn't require you to think. And decompress in that way and stick to your routine. Stick to your nighttime routine. If you wash your face and brush your teeth and floss and da and da and da, keep doing those things, even though you're going to turn around and wake up the next morning and log back on, because you need to have that separation. It's good for your body. It's good for your brain. It's good for your spirit. And it makes for a better work day the next day. So that's what I've got. You guys know I am a super fan of, you know, working your 8 hours and going home, because I believe in, you know, living your real life outside of work. But there are those seasons where you do have to put in a little extra on the day job, right? There's no such thing as a 50-50 work-life balance. Some seasons you got to give a little more to something, right? And so I want to make sure you're equipped with this. So let me know if this helped you. Save this for your busy time at work. Send it to your friend who's got a busy season coming up and let her know that she's okay and she's not alone in this. And yeah, that's what I've got for today. So I am past the busy season for now. Here's to hoping the government doesn't shut down. I guess in the next episode, I'll let you know what happened. If the government actually shut down. And you guys take care of yourself. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to You Are Worth the Work. If you enjoy this podcast, I'd love for you to subscribe, rate, review, share, tell your friends, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.